Welcome back to another broadcast. It's been a number of years since I've been working to help individuals deal with struggles in their life and the problems that they face. It wasn't just something that I stumbled upon. It was a good bit of reading other people's material, looking at the Word of God, finding out exactly what does God say about an issue. A lot of times you can look up words and find out what their true definitions are and begin to put together studies to learn about sorrow and sadness and trials or struggles, faith, and the Lord and how He's the answer. Attended some seminars and some classes that I've taken that have helped me along the way. One thing that I found, I think, to be a detriment to helping individuals is that many times people want to just try and find what's a quick solution. Can you give me, two steps that I can do, or three steps? Give me a verse that I can share with somebody that's going to help them with this problem. And the problem with that is that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And the problems that we face in life are never just, a bug that's on the windshield of our life. It's more like the stone that hits a windshield that has the star that's, just running in many different directions now all through the windshield. There isn't just one problem with one area. You just take care of that and everything's okay. Because when you wound a human being, when you hurt them in their soul, it affects them in so many different areas of their lives. And there isn't just a quick verse that we can throw their way. And that's what many people in ministry have done. They have people come in and they're going to deal with problems. They're going to share their struggles with their faith. They're going to share the struggles with their past, things that have happened with them, whether it be growing up in a single-parent home, being physically or emotionally abused, sexually abused, abandonment, struggles with your identity and being rejected, and the difficulty that you had through your teenage years that now has still not been resolved, and you're dealing with struggles of insecurity in your 20s and 30s and even later than that in life. And many times what they want to just try and do is find a verse that they can say, well, you need to do this. If you start doing that, everything will be okay. Forgetting those things which are behind, press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that's a partial quote of the verse, but that's the mentality that people want to have and just say, forget about those things. Well, that's not the context of that verse, and that's definitely not the way to help somebody with their problems. This last segment of messages that I'm having on trauma is, what can you do to help an individual that's been struggling? And we've covered last broadcast, we've talked about what we really need to do is be an individual of love. And when we love somebody, which is not a feeling, but a decision that I want to meet their needs, their problems are my problems. And now I will do what I can with my life, my assets, and help them with their problems, because their problems are now my problems. And we saw that we're nothing without love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we saw that in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. And then, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. We saw that word worketh came from the Greek word energeo, which reminds us of the word energized. And so it's really, but faith which is energized by love. Love is the driving force behind what you are as an individual, whether you're in the ministry, whether you're a parent, whether you're a spouse, whether you're a friend. It doesn't matter what it is. Love is the driving force of what you are. Now, we ended up looking at the first point, what can we do? And that we found in Job chapter number 16, and that is, we can have pity on the afflicted. Job chapter number 6, Job 6 verse 14 says this, that him that is afflicted, pity should be shown for his friend, but he forsaketh the fear of the Almighty. These are the words of Job, and Job is telling us, he's really telling his friends what they should be doing to him. And he's saying that him that is afflicted, pity should be shown to them. We also saw in chapter 19, verse number 21, "Have pity on me, have pity on me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me." And in the times of the Bible being translated into English, the word pity kind of had the same meaning, whether it's feeling sorry for somebody or feeling sorrow and the emotion with that individual. Today we have two different words. Pity is feeling sorry for somebody, but empathy is hurting with them, feeling and experiencing that with them. And that's the idea of this word. The word pity is to bow, be kind, show self as merciful. And what it is you are presenting yourself in a way that you're trying to relate to their hurt and their pain, because you are, the best you can, identifying with it and feeling it with them. I think I said this in the last broadcast. You know when the politicians say, "I know you're hurt and I feel your pain." And you know what? There's no way they know what it's like to live like you and I do. But you have the potential, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to understand where people are in their life. And that then you can show, the biblical word being pity or empathy toward them. And that's what these individuals need. The second thing they're going to need is you must be consistent and not seasonal as a mountain stream. Now, I had to look at this passage here in chapter 6, verse 15 to 18. It says this, "My brethren have dealt deceitfully as a brook, and as the stream of brooks they pass away, which are blackish by reason of the ice, and wherein the snow is hid, what times they wax warm, they vanish. When it is hot, they are consumed out of their place. The paths of their way are turned aside. They go to nothing and perish." Now, Job is trying to say this is what he needs, and that his friends had failed him, he said, because they had dealt deceitfully as a brook. And I had to really sit and meditate this for a while. And I'm saying, what is he trying to say when he compares me as a person who's trying to help somebody, comparing them to a brook? It reminds me of one time that I went fishing up in the mountains of Pennsylvania. Now, they're not the mountains like Colorado or the Rocky Mountains, but they're what we would call mountains here. And when I went up in the springtime, and of course the springs were there, and I was fishing for trout, and I remember having a good time and catching fish. And so I came back to my area, which is probably about 2-3 hours away from them. And I went to my work, and a few months later, I decided I was going to go back again and let's go fishing in those same streams. And when I got to those same streams, there weren't any streams there. They were gone. There was nothing but bed of rock where the stream was, just stones. And what had happened was, when the snow had been melting at the end of the winter and the springtime was coming, the earth was filled with water, and the springs were just letting loose, and those springs fed that brook. And so when I was there, the brook was there. And then another time when I needed the brook to be there, the brook wasn't there. And so it can be deceitful. Well, are you going to be there or are you not going to be there? And that's the idea of what Job is saying, that his friends were deceitful to him like a brook. In other words, they acted like they were his friend, and they were the kind of person he needed them to be one day, and then another day they were not that same kind of a person that he needed them to be. And that's where I came up with this statement. You must be consistent and not seasonal as a mountain stream. You need to be consistent in this unconditional love that you show towards them. What do I mean by unconditional love? I love you regardless of how you react. If you love me back, I love you. If you don't love me back, I love you. If you take my advice, I love you. If you don't take my advice, I love you. If you ask me for help, I love you. If you then attack me because of the kind of help that I brought your way, I still love you. If you swear that you're going to do what I tell you to do, I love you. When you break your promise, I love you. They're all examples of unconditional love. My love for you is not based on the condition of what you're doing. And that's what we need to be for these individuals. We need to be consistent. I worked in a sex offender treatment facility, and I shared this with you before. And one of the key things that they taught us in how to deal with people who have a lot of trauma and anger issues in their life, and that is to be consistent. They said, be the solid object. That means you're a solid object, that the wind isn't going to move it, storms aren't going to move it. You are like a boulder, a big piece of granite sticking up out of the ground. Nothing is going to move you, and that's the way you need to be. So that means that you cannot be pouring out your heart to them and being loving and compassionate and understanding and patient with them one day, and then come home after a bad day at work and say, you know what, I just don't have time for you today. I just can't be dealing with that. We cannot be like that. If we're going to be patient with them one day, we need to be patient with them each day. You can't be patient most of the time. You can't be patient and long-suffering, and then one day when you're having a difficult time, you know what I'm just going to do? I'm just going to straighten them out, and you're going to give them a piece of your mind. And all you do is wound them in a greater way. What you need to do, what you need to be, is a person that is consistent in Christ. Jesus Christ consistently loves me. That's why God says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because he wants you and me to know that regardless of what's going on in our life, he is still consistently going to love us. He's going to be what we need him to be. And my best advice to you, you might say, how do I respond to somebody who's experienced great loss or abuse or rejection, or they're having depression, or they're having anxiety attacks, or they're reacting because of their trauma? What can I do? I need to be consistent in my love toward them and the way that I'm there. Consistently be patient and listening. And you know why that's difficult for you and me? Because it isn't anything that we can determine we're going to do. It's going to be fruit of the Holy Spirit. We get that by sitting at the feet of Jesus, by abiding in him. He's the vine. We are the branches. I abide in him, and then he bears fruit through me. And that fruit, some would say, are other Christians, but that's not the fruit. The fruit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All of those things are the fruit that he's going to manifest in our lives. And as I'm saying, be consistent in love, be consistent in long-suffering, be consistent in gentleness. They're the things that we need to be. And not just one day or sometime, but all of the time. Looking at Job chapter 6, verse number 24, teach me, and I will hold my tongue, and cause me to understand where I have erred, said Job. And what we need to do is not argue or reprove people for the wrong that they're doing, but instead is we need to teach them the truth of what they should do. So if they're struggling, you know what? You know, they know they shouldn't be drinking. You know they shouldn't be doing drugs. And we can run the list. You know what? They don't need for you to straighten them out. What you can do is you can tell them what they should do. Tell them how they can go to Christ. Tell them how that they deserve to be loved by God. Tell them that they can run to God. Tell them that God can and wants to help them. Don't tell them what they're doing wrong. Tell them what they need to do right, and consistently do that in love. We're going to cover more of this in the next broadcast. So until the next time, God bless.